What on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? And I would like to believe that everybody in this room has asked that question at least once in their lifetime. What on earth am I here for? And if you're sitting out there and you say, "Holly, I've never really asked myself that question." Well, you should have asked yourself that question. So whether you have asked it or you haven't asked it, you are in the right place this morning, because we need to know, what on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? Why am I alive? What am I supposed to do with my life? And we're going to be investigating these questions, and it is going to be an incredible journey for these next few weeks. I want you to take out your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you have YouVersion on your smartphone or on your tablet, you can go to your YouVersion app. You can open that up. Whenever you open it up, go to the menu button, scroll down to Live Event. You can click on Live Event. It'll take you to a place that will say Search for Live Event. And if you will type in, there has been a change on YouVersion. Used to, you could type in 71111. It's not that way anymore. You have to type in Bossier City, Louisiana. So type in Bossier City, Louisiana. Boom, it'll pop up there. You'll see North Point Community Church. What on earth am I here for? You can click that, and there you will have all of our Bible reading, all of our scriptures, and all of my notes, so you can follow along this morning. But if you have your Bible, you can follow along right there. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verse 28. You know, this is one of the most loved promises in all of the Bible, and it just happens to be my favorite scripture in the Word of God. Romans 8, 28, and it says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." And we know that in all, somebody say all. All right, now everybody say all. And we know that in all things. Does anybody need a definition for all this morning? Okay, I looked it up. I checked the Greek. I checked the Hebrew. And all means all in every language. Okay, so it's all. God has the ability to work together, to work at all things. God works for the good of those who love Him. But many times we leave off this next part. We quote that scripture. You hear people make reference of that scripture. But we leave off the next part that says, who have been called according to His purpose. Who have been called according to His purpose. You see, there is a link. There is a tie. Your calling and your purpose, they go together. And if we were going to put a subtitle on this series, What on Earth Am I Here For? The subtitle would be this: Live Your Calling. Live Your Calling. What we are going to discover is that everyone in this place and everyone on this earth has a calling from Almighty God. And it is our job to discover that calling and then to live it out on a daily basis. Come on, let's pray. Father, Lord, we just thank You for what You're doing in our hearts. Lord, we wait with anticipation to see what You do in our church and in us as individuals over these next 6 weeks as we go on this great adventure, this great journey of discovering what on earth am I here for, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. What do you think of when you hear the word called? Most of the time, you're going to think of a phone call. You may think of making a call, or you think of receiving a call. But whenever I hear the word called, I think interruption. I think interruption. As a pastor, as a leader, as a coach, calls always come in when I am meeting with somebody else in my office, when I'm talking to somebody else on the phone. Calls come in whenever I'm working on a sermon or working on a church strategy. Calls come in when I'm spending time with my family or when I'm working on another project. Calls seem to come in, and many times those calls seem to be interruptions. And, you know, most people, whenever they're making calls, if you're a pastor or a leader or a manager or anything like that, when you are receiving the calls, most of the time, the calls come with bad news attached. Most of the time, people aren't calling me to say, hey, pastor, I just want you to know that I've got this beautiful vacation home out in California, in Malibu. It sits right on the beach. Pastor, I would love for you just to go out there and spend 2 or 3 weeks. I'll pay for all of your expenses. Just love for that time. I don't get that call very often. I have never gotten that call. And if you are that person, I will take your call. But most of the time it comes with some bad news attached. There's some type of problem. Somebody is in trouble. Somebody needs something from me. And because phone calls are many times interruptions and many times they come with bad news, if any of you have ever tried to call me before, you would know that I'm not that good at answering my phone. My mom just said amen from the back row. She gets on to me all the time. And then you would really be upset whenever you call me because my phone doesn't have voicemail set up. That's a strategic plan on my part. Because I was getting all of these phone calls and then I had all of these voicemails. And so I didn't answer the phone, so then I had to listen to the voicemail. And then I didn't really want to listen to the voicemail, so then I didn't listen to the voicemail. And so then my voicemail stacks up. And then you get that annoying message when you call somebody and they say, this person's mailbox is full. Then you just look like an absolutely irresponsible person. I said, I don't want to look like that, so therefore I just didn't set up my voicemail box. I thought that was really strategic and really smart. Now people are like, are you so lazy that you can't even set your voicemail up? I can't win in any way. And then you had the people that would say, hey, you know, I left you a voicemail last week. And I was like, that's great. I've got 42 of them right now on my phone. Would you like to listen to them for me to let me know what's going on in the world? So I'm not that good at answering my phone. But part of the reason is because it's always coming when I am trying to accomplish something else. And so I'm not that good with. Is anybody else out there like me? Just wait. If you're not like me, just make me feel better. Just lift your hand right now. You can pray for forgiveness later if you're lying. But it makes me feel better anyway. Okay. But let me tell you this morning, there is one call that you don't want to miss. There is one call that you don't want to hit ignore. You don't want to hit decline. You don't want to let that call go to voicemail. You don't want to miss this call. When God calls, you want to pick up the phone. When God calls, you want to pick it up on the first ring. When God calls, you don't need to debate about whether you should answer or not. When God calls, you hit answer as fast as you can. And the reality is that God calls for each and every one of us. Romans 8:30, just two scriptures down from 8:28. It says this, and those he predestined, he also called. Somebody say called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. You see, in that scripture, there are some big words, and we'll talk about some of those in the weeks ahead. But today, I want to focus on one word, and that word is called. Say called. The Bible is a story of people answering God's call. From the very beginning in the book of Genesis, as we read about Abraham, as we read about Noah, as we go throughout the book and we read about Elisha and about David, as we go on in the book and we read about Nehemiah rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, all these men in the Old Testament were men who answered God's call. And then we look over in the New Testament and we see Peter, James, and John, men who just said yes to the call of God. We see Mary, the mother of Jesus. We see Mary Magdalene, the prostitute. We see them saying yes to Almighty God. We see the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts saying yes to the call of God. And over the next few weeks, we are going to look at five specific dimensions of God's call for your life. And not only are we going to look at those specific calls, but we are going to look at how can we fulfill the call of God right where we are today. Right here in Shreveport and Bossier City, how can we fulfill the call of Almighty God? And today is simply going to be an intro. Today is simply going to be an overview. And this morning, I want to share with you the seven things you need to know about your life's calling. The seven things you need to know about your life's calling. Number one is this: my calling is a gift from God. My calling is a gift from God. I don't deserve it. I don't work for it. And I certainly can't earn it. My gift, my calling is a gift from Almighty God. It was graciously given to me by God. Galatians 1:6 informs us that God, by His grace, called you to be His people. By His grace, you have been called. Not because you worked so hard for it, not because your hard work, not because of your own merit, not because of how good you were, not because of how smart you were, not because of how faithful you had been. When God called you, He called you because of His own grace. You see, it's important for you to see that your calling is actually a part of your salvation. Look, this is what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says this: He saved us and called us. He saved us and called us to be His own people, not because of what we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. He saved us and He called us. Our salvation and our calling are uniquely linked together. And He did this not because of what we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. And this leads us to the second thing that we need to know about our life's calling. And the second thing is this: I'm called for God's purpose. I'm called for God's purpose. I'm going to say something that it might just rattle your brain for a second, but God did not make you for you. That might upset some of you. You might have think that, man, God made you so great that He made you just for you, but God did not make you for you. God did not make you for your plan. God did not make you for your purpose. God created you for His purpose and His plan. I am called for God's purpose. When I was 18 years old, I had an encounter with God in my bedroom one Friday night. And it was at that encounter with God, it was at that moment, somewhere around 2:30 in the morning, when I crawled out of my bed and got down on my floor face down, and I just began to weep and began to cry out to God. It was that night that I surrendered my life to God's purpose and call. And from that moment, I have been bivocational. I have had many jobs. I have worked as a college coach. I've worked as a high school coach. I've done many other things, and I've had many jobs of which I received a paycheck for. But from that moment on, I have been bivocational, because you see, you get your paycheck from your business, but you get your calling from God. You have a career because a career makes a living, but you understand that a calling makes a life. And you need to understand that those two things aren't mixed together. If you work as a pharmaceutical sales rep, I just want you to know that God's calling on your life was not to sell drugs. They're good drugs, obviously, okay. That's not God's call. That might be the place that He led you to meet the needs of your family. That might be the place that He has taken you so that you can do what you need to do in life, so that you can put food on the table and so that you can pay your bills. But I want you to know that you also have a calling that has come from God, and that calling is going to initiate action in His kingdom. The calling is not for you. The calling is not for your house. The calling is not for your own stuff. No, no, no. The calling was for God's purpose, and he has called you because a calling gives you life, and it gives you the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That term handiwork, in the New Living Translation, it actually says masterpiece. For you are God's masterpiece. You say, well, I don't really feel like much of a masterpiece. I feel more like I belong in the junk pile than hanging in the Louvre in Paris. I don't really feel like a masterpiece. That's just because you don't understand the value that God put in you. You see, if you understood the value that God put in you, you would understand that you are God's masterpiece. You are not junk. Let me tell you how I know. Because Jesus wouldn't die for junk. Let me tell you how else I know that you aren't junk. Because God doesn't make junk. And if he is creator, then he created you. And if he created you, he didn't create you to go into the junkyard. He didn't create you for the junk pile. Our God doesn't make junk. And if our God made you and he created you, then you are his masterpiece. You are his work of art. You see, we weren't put here on this earth just to take up space. We weren't put here to merely be a consumer. And we have to understand that we live in a consumer-driven society. It doesn't take long driving down Airline Road for you to realize that we live in a consumer-driven society. And if you aren't careful, you can fall into a consumer-driven Christianity. You can allow the society to get into your Christianity. You can allow the world to creep into your faith. And before you know it, you're wondering, what can I take from this church? What do I need to get? What do I need to get my hands on? What can they give to me? But you see, you weren't put here to be a consumer. You were put here by God to be a contributor. You're not a consumer, you're a contributor. This is part of what it says there when it talks about that you were created to do good works. That means you have something to give. And if you have something to give, then you need to give it. It's not about what can I get. It's all about what can I give. What can I give to the kingdom of God? What can I give to the church? What can I give to the Lord? What can I contribute? Not what can I consume. Not what can I take away. Not what can I get. What can I give? Because I am called for God's purpose on the earth. And then I love it that scripture goes on there in Ephesians 2, 10, and it says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That takes us to lesson number three that we need to know about our life's calling. And the third thing is this: God chose my calling before I was born. God chose my calling before I was born. Galatians 1:15, the Bible says this: but even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Once again, this is the third scripture that I've read where grace was attached to being called. That God has called you, and he called you by his grace. And you're saying, I'm just not worthy for the call. Absolutely. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. Not one person that he ever called on the face of this planet was worthy. Nobody that was born outside of Jesus Christ himself has ever been worthy of being called by God. But whenever you pick up your Bible and you see men and women called by God from Genesis to Revelation, it wasn't them that made the calling. It was the God who made the calling worth it. You see, it's God that called you, and he's called you by his grace. God chose you before you were ever born. Jeremiah 1:5. I know, God said this, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you, or I called you as my prophet to the nations. Isn't that amazing that God chose your calling before you were ever born? That God knew your personality, that God knew your likes and dislikes, that God knew, God chose your calling before you were ever born. Listen to this scripture in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2. And this is going to be our memory verse for the week. I want you to quote this every day. And did you get the bookmarks when you came in? Did everybody get a bookmark? It's right there on your bookmark for our very first session. And it says this, Isaiah 44, 2. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Come on, can we just say that together? Say it with me. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. That is the fact that God chose your calling before you were ever born. What does this teach us? What does this verse teach us? I am your creator. You know what that means? You're not an accident. I am your creator. I am your creator. I am your creator. I am your creator. That means you are not an accident. And so you can't think that you're an accident, because, you know, if you think that you're an accident, you're going to live like you're an accident. And you can't afford to live like an accident, because you were created by the Creator. Go on in the verse. And it says, you were in my care. You were in my care. God's telling you this morning, you were in my care. You were in my care. You were in my care. What does that tell us? What does that teach us this morning? That means that you are deeply loved and cared about. That before you were ever born, before you had ever performed one good action, before you had ever read your first scripture, before you had ever prayed your first prayer, before you had ever said yes to God, God was already taking care of you. That means that you are deeply loved by God. And he says, and he did this even before you were born. That means God planned your life out. God planned your life out before you were ever on this earth. He had already planned your life. Let's move on. Number four. Number four. My sins and mistakes don't change my call. My sins and mistakes don't change my call. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up your life so far. Whether you messed it up or whether somebody else helped you mess it up. It doesn't matter how deep of a pit that you are currently in right now, because your dumb decisions haven't changed the call of God. You need to know this morning that your call is permanent. Your call is permanent. You say, how do you know that? Because in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, this is what the Word of God tells us. God's gifts and His calling are irrevocable, which means they can never be withdrawn. God said, I'm going to give you gifts and I'm going to give you a calling, and I am never going to take it back. So for you, that means that your calling is permanent. God's calling on your life, your mistakes, your failures, your mishaps have not changed the call of God. There's a great example of this in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, who was formerly Saul, and Paul, man, he was a rude dude in a crude mood. I mean, this guy, he was a bad dude. He He wrote two-thirds of your New Testament, but if you happened to shake his hand before his conversion, it would have been a bad day for you. Paul was a murderer. He was a violent killer. He was a religious terrorist. And that's why he writes in 1 Timothy, he says, he considered me trustworthy and called me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. How many of you have ever done anything stupid before? Just wave at me, just so I know I'm not alone. Just done something that when it was over, you thought, is that the dumbest thing that I've ever done in my life? And then you remembered actually something dumber that you had done before, and you thought, oh, no, it's not the dumbest thing, but it wasn't very smart. You know, if you have done those things, if you have been a part of ignorant, stupid mistakes, if you have been a part of just the worst failures. If you have ever been a part, has it ever dawned on you that it could have just been apostle training? Has it ever dawned on you that God may just be forming you through all of your mistakes and all of your flaws, that God could be developing something in you, that you could be going through apostle training 101 just like the apostle Paul was going through? Because here's the fact this morning. God doesn't waste what happens in your life. Every good day, every bad day, every great moment and every horrible moment, God doesn't waste anything that happens in your life, not even your own sin and your struggles. And not only do your sins not change your calling, but what others have done to you, you need to know that what others have done to you is not going to change the call of God either. Maybe you were abandoned by your parents before you turned 5 years old. Maybe you were sexually abused by a relative. Maybe you were betrayed by your very closest friend, or maybe even your spouse. The pain and disappointment afflicted by others in your life, hear me this morning, does not change the call of God for you. Write this down. Commit this to memory. God has no plan B for me. God has no plan B for me. God has no plan B for me. God takes every mistake, every heartache, and he turns it into plan A for your life. He has the divine and supernatural ability to cause all things to work together for your good. And you say, is it God's will? Did God put me through this? No, God has nothing to do with that. It's a fact that we live in a sinful, fallen world. It's the fact that we have a devil, a real adversary who is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It is the fact that we live in a world that is perverted and is sick and is full of disease and all kinds of bad things, but it just shows you how awesome our God really is, that he can take every one of your mistakes, every one of your failures, and he can turn it all around, and he can build something great and mighty out of our lives. Only God and his divine supernatural ability has to take everything in your life and build it all and say, this is plan A for you. The enemy thought he had you, but this is still plan A. Oh, you thought you really screwed it up, but this is really plan A. Oh, you thought that you had ruined your life. No, I'm going to take that and I'm going to make that part of your testimony that sees other hundreds and thousands of people set free and delivered because you came through this. God is always working it out because the scripture says all things. Somebody say all. All things, there is no plan B for me. Come on, let's move on. Number five. The fifth thing that you need to know about your calling is this. My calling is connected to others. My calling is connected to others. You can't fulfill your calling by yourself because calling and community go together. Romans 14:7 says, For none of us My notes have to be wrong. Romans 14:7. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. None of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. A perfect illustration of this is that none of our body parts work. As magnificent as they are, when they're disconnected, they don't work. Your eyeball is an amazing thing. I mean, the fact that it has the ability to take the light and everything and process it, and then we get to see what we see, it is amazing. But if I went out there and I plucked your eyeball right out, it wouldn't be as magnificent if I was just up here, you know. It wouldn't be working. What if we took our ear? Think about the ear. The thing about the amazing thing right now that I am speaking into a microphone, it's coming out of those speakers, it's going into your ear. All of the sound waves that you're hearing are actually being processed in your brain, that you actually understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. The ear is an absolutely amazing tool that God attached to our bodies. Think about how your hand works and all the things that you can do. Your hand is an amazing thing, but if your hand gets disconnected from your body, then all of a sudden it becomes useless. It is not as amazing as it could be. You see, but it's the same way with you. If you get disconnected from Christ's body, if you get disconnected, you say, well, how do I get connected? This is the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that said, this is my body here on the earth. So your calling is going to be fulfilled whenever you get connected to other people, when you get connected to Christ's body, when we all realize that we are better together. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4:4, all of you are part of the same body. There is only one Spirit of God, just as you were given one hope when you were chosen or called to be God's people. Hebrews 3 declares that we are holy partners in a heavenly calling. We are holy partners in a heavenly calling. That's why we're always talking about small groups. That's why we're always talking about getting connected, because you are better when you're connected to the body of Christ. The sixth thing that you need to know about your calling is this: God will empower what he calls me to do. God will empower what he calls me to do. What God calls you to do, he equips you, and then he enables you to do it. When I commit to my calling, God commits the strength and power that I need. You know, I remember, as I told you, I was 18 years old, and I had an encounter with God, and it was shortly after that I began to share my testimony, and then not long after that, I just began to preach like 5-minute sermons, and then it grew, and then I graduated high school, and I went to college, and when I went to college, I decided that I was going to start a Bible study for some of my teammates. I went to the University of North Carolina to play football, and so I decided I was going to start a Bible study, and once we got that Bible study going, you know, I hadn't really thought it all out. Like, I hadn't thought that these people are going to have questions. And, like, I'm probably not going to have the answers. I was just so eager just to tell somebody about Jesus. And you know what I found? This is what I discovered, that this point is actually true, that God will empower you to do what he calls you to do, because I knew that God had sent me to that campus for one reason. That's getting his message out. And I remember sitting down with people and some of my teammates asking me the questions that I had never heard. Not only did I not know the answer, I'd never heard anybody even ask that question before. And do you know the most amazing thing happened? Is I would start talking to them, and I would start saying things, and I was like, I've never heard that before in my life. I have never read that in a book. I would just start, and it would just keep coming. And then, man, they would be crying. It'd be, oh, it means so much to me. And I'm sitting there going, wow, this is really good stuff. I wish I could write this down, because I might need to tell somebody else. And then, you know what? I'd have another person come talk to me, and the same thing would happen again. And I would have never had an answer, but as I just started talking to him, the Holy Spirit would empower me. He would give me wisdom and knowledge, and he would lead me and guide me. And what was happening right there? He was empowering me to fulfill my calling. I did not have the answers that they needed, but Almighty God had the answers. And if I was just faithful to step out and say, God, I'm going to commit to do what you are calling me to do, it was amazing that God said, okay, Philip, then I commit to you that I will give you the answer. I'll give you the courage. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the knowledge. I will give you what you need, because he will be the one that enables you to do it anyway. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes and he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. To live a life. Over the next 6 weeks, we are going to learn how to live our calling. We're going to learn how to live our calling. We've got a little acrostic we're going to throw up on the board, because this is what we're going to do over these next few weeks. We're going to learn. If you see, it comes all the way down there. Learn. We are going to listen to God's word every day. We're going to enlist friends who challenge me. We're going to ask questions and accept correction. We're going to remember and reinforce what I learn. And then we're going to simply now do it. This is our mission. Over the next 6 weeks, we are going to learn how to live it. And it's so important that you listen to God's word every day. Hear me out. What you need to do, and we're going to give you a little more instruction as we get to the end and we wrap up. We're going to share some things with you. But you need, when you read your Bible, you need to learn to read it out loud. You need to read it out loud. Because you will be amazed what happens when you hear the word. Not just when you read it with your eyes, but whenever you hear it, something different happens. When you're at home alone, you need to read the Bible out loud. You need to listen to God's word. That's what it means to listen to God's word every day. You need to enlist friends who are going to challenge you. You need to find people who are going to challenge you throughout this process to learn what it is to live your calling. You need to ask questions. This is a great time. What on earth am I here for? What is that? That's a question. This book is full of questions. And whenever you ask questions, you're going to begin to find answers. And then remember and reinforce what I learned. Our scripture, Isaiah 44, verse 2. You need to say that every day. You need to get that going. I am your creator. You need to say that each and every day. Reinforce what you're learning. And then the end was now do it. Now do it. Put it into action. Let's move on. The last thing, number 7, is this. There is a prize for living out my calling. There is a prize for living out my calling. God promises a reward, listen to this, that will last forever. There is a prize for living out your calling, and it is an eternal prize. So how important is it for you to discover your calling? If there is an eternal prize connected to it, don't you agree that, hey, we need to figure out what it is? This is what Paul writes in Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is the prize? The prize is sharing God's glory forever. Sharing God's glory forever. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, and we kept urging you to live the kind of life that pleases God, who calls you, listen to this, who calls you to share his own kingdom and glory. He calls you to share his own kingdom and glory. It's an amazing thing that for eternity, God will share his glorious kingdom with us if we live out our calling and receive the eternal prize. If we live out our calling and receive our eternal prize, God is going to share his heavenly kingdom and his glory with us all. The fact this morning is that God is calling you. The question is this: will you answer his call? God is calling you. The question is, will you answer his call? And this is my prayer for you over the next 6 weeks as we close this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. This is from the Message translation. I ask God to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy and boundless strength. This is what I'm praying each and every day for you. This is what I'm believing God is going to do in your life. I believe that he's going to make you intelligent and discerning. Listen to this. And knowing him personally, I believe he's going to give you the ability to know him more intimately than you ever have before. I believe that God is going to give you the insight into the heart of the Father like never before. I believe that you are going to see him clearer than you have ever seen him before, because we are going to be praying this prayer together. But not only that you would know him and see him and know him even greater personally, but listen to this, so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. So that it's not fuzzy, it's not confusing, that you will be able to see clearly what God is calling you to do, and then grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life that he has for his followers. God has a glorious way of life for you. I don't know how glorious your life is right now, but if your life is not glorious, you are living below the standard that God has set for his followers, because he has a glorious life for you. And where do we find that glorious life? We find that glorious life when we find our calling and when we begin to live out our calling each and every day. We step into the glorious life that God has for you. But I've got so many things going the wrong direction. I've got so many mistakes. I've got so many issues. God has a glorious life and a glorious calling for each and every one of us. Can we say amen to that this morning?